Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 16th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 64, the third paragraph that begins with resentment is the number one offender. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Naomi B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Joanne L., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Shelley E., Kathy S., and Mo H. The share ID for Tuesday, June 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,154. That's 17154. And this morning's Wednesday, June 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,163. That's 17163. Our newcomer greeter for today is Barbara W., and Leslie M. will be making the announcement. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 12 steps. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge for His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Naomi B. Joanne L., good morning. If you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please. Star one to unmute, Joanne. Oh, Joanne.
Hello?
Okay, there you are. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm having a little problem today. I think I'm going to also have to do a 10-step. Good morning, everybody. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I am Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island. I am recovered. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. I don't know if I said 5 on that one. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Team Wednesday, and I pass.
And thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 64, the third paragraph that begins with resentment is the number one offender. And we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So Shelley E., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 64. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We ask ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. Again, Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater. This is a very packed paragraph. First of all, it tells me that resentment is my number one offender. And as the first time when I was first going through this, I really didn't recognize that I had resentments. I mean, I knew I was angry. I knew I sat in blame. I knew all the things people had done to me and felt quite justified. And I at that point, I didn't see my part in it. I just knew what they had done to me, and I just could not wait to get it down on paper, because wait till my sponsor heard this one. She was sure going to see that I had a reason to be angry or to be blaming and to not see my part. And so what this tells me in the paragraph is that first we list the people, the institutions, or the principals, and then we ask why we were angry, and I did that. And then when I looked at it and saw my part, I was shocked. But it was these simple instructions that, you know, it was such a revelation. It allowed me to see my part. It offered me freedom. It reacquainted me with my higher power. And it set me on my journey toward recovery. And not only that, it helped me heal that hole in my soul that I didn't even realize I had. And so this is a huge paragraph. I'm grateful I got to read it. And I'm also grateful for every resentment that I had and continue to have, because it brings me closer to my higher power. It shows me the work that I have still to do in my life. And it brought me to where I am. And like I said, reconnecting me to my higher power. With that, I pass, and I look forward to everyone's shares. Have a good day, everyone.
And thank you, Shelley E. Okay, we're on page 64, the third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. And we would love to hear your share. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Naomi B.
Naomi B.
Joanne L.
Joanne L.
Diane C.
Diane C.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Jody H.
Jody H. Okay, we will stop with that lineup, and I encourage those of you listening to jump in after these people are done and put your name in and share. It's a great way to be a part of the meeting. Okay, I have Naomi B., Joanne L., Diane C., Elaine B., and Jody H. Go ahead, please, Naomi B.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Yes, this is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. This resentment, this justifiable anger, it was just to me, because look what these people did to me. How dare, look what they did to me. I have every reason to resent them. And I carried my life that way. They hurt me so I can feel that hurt. Oh, crazy. And then coming down a little bit, the spiritual disease. This is really funny because I was a Christian woman. I went to church regularly. What kind of spiritual problem could I possibly have? I wasn't sick mentally. Yeah, right. I wasn't sick physically, thank God. But boy, I want to tell you, when these words hit me right in the face for the first time, it was like, I did have a spiritual malady. I really did. Because food was my God, lowercase g, of course. And I had no idea. I had no idea what I was dealing with. Same thing with this resentment. The other thing that I've learned in program, how resentment and fear are kind of intertwined. And that is so true, because there was so much fear. It still crops up every once in a while, but that's what I have the 10th step for. And this is amazing, amazing program. And it set me free. Because anytime a resentment pops up, I do a 10th step. Whether I just take it to God and let it go, I'm done, or I have to take it to someone else. And I'm free. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. in Pennsylvania. And Joanne L., you're up, followed by Diane C. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning again, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. When I did the step study process and we got to this part, step four, and this was the first thing that we wrote on was resentments. And when I had to list my resentments, I myself had to really think, well, geez, do I have any resentments? But then my sponsor said to me, Joanne, why don't you do it this way? Because sometimes I forget the past, the way, way past, because I don't want to remember it. for whatever reason. And so she said, you know, list 0 to 1, you know, list the names, 0 to 1, 1, you know, 5, I'm sorry, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, up to where I was at that point when I started to do this process. And so that's what I did, and it helped me really go back and remember people who I thought I had a resentment for. And you know what I've realized, and I want to say the definition of resentment, it's strong and painful bitterness you feel when someone does something wrong to you. It doesn't have to have actual physical weight, but it feels very heavy, and it can last a long time. Forgiveness is one way to get rid of resentments. And, you know, sometimes resentments last for years. It can be strong and hard to pull out. And, you know, some people will bring their resentments to the grave. But, again, you know, doing these steps and being in the step study process, I realized after listing all these resentments, my sponsor had said to me when it came to the causes and the effects, like, well, why? What did that person do to you? Go ahead, Joanne, point your finger. Point your finger at them and really give it to them. Because when you think about it, you know, you're mad, you're angry, and I had to write it down, you know, what that person did to me. And she said, because you know what? Really give it to them, Joanne, because this will be the last time you will ever, ever do that again. And she was right. So after I, you know, did the resentments, did the causes and the effects and what that person did, but then I had to do the turnaround, you know, and I had to see where I was wrong. Let me tell you, she was right. That was the last time that I pointed my fingers. Now, I'm not saying until today I don't ever get resentful at somebody, but I have to tell you that I know where to go with that resentment. I know, you know, that I have tools to use, that I have a 10th step that I can do. And the other thing about a resentment is this. I can have a resentment against you, but you know something? If you don't tell that person why you're angry, then that person has no idea. Sometimes people just don't have any idea why you're angry. And unless you, you know, bring up something to them or you say something to them, they're the ones who are free. You're the one who's suffering with the resentment. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like getting that resentment off your back. That's what certainly has helped me in program, not to smoke, not to drink, not to drug, and not to pick up on my food. And I am so forever grateful. So if you're living in a resentment, get rid of it in as many ways that you can. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. in Rhode Island. And Diane C., good morning. You're up, followed by Elaine B.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Diane C. I'm from Minnesota. I am new to A Vision for You. I'm coming off of a 3-year relapse. I've got a sponsor again, and she has directed me to attend Vision for You meeting and to reach out to people and to speak at a meeting. So anyway, so I'm jumping in doing that. This time I want to do what my sponsor tells me to do. And this was a good reading from the big book about resentments, and I've done a 4th step, and I do 10 steps. The thing, I come to realize that my biggest resentment was against myself, resenting for what I did to my body, resenting not being able to be physically healthy, not being able to lose weight, not being able to stick to the program, so many resentments against myself, because I came to the point where I really couldn't blame anybody else for anything. So, hey, so point the finger at myself. I'm working on that. And even though I have not been, this is my 2nd day of abstinence, even though I was in relapse, I still did a 10th step every day and worked on resentment. So I am grateful for this program, because though I haven't maintained abstinence, this program has so many gifts. And thank you, everybody. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Diane C. in Minnesota. Thanks for being here. Okay, Elaine B., you're up, followed by Jody H. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you so much for your faithful service. Okay, well, resentment is a number one offender. You know, I love just a little further down where it says, we have not only been mentally and physically ill, allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, this crazy thing that food does to us, we've been spiritually sick. And I love this promise. This is a promise. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. We have victory over this mental obsession. We have finally some serenity and sanity around our food when the spiritual malady is overcome. And this is just the first part here. Uh-oh, resentment's the number one offender. There's some popular, very funny 12-step teachers that talk about, yeah, I get up in the morning and I pour my cup of coffee and I sit there and I think about what they did to me. And in my own, you know, version of that, I resent it. I retell it. I re-feel it. I re-injure myself. I need relief. And the next thing I know, I'm in a relapse. The second part of their thing is then they take out their bottle of whiskey and they think about an hour about what, drink for an hour thinking about what they're going to do to them. You know, this is an emotional exercise, and we are new at abandoning ourselves to this higher power and putting down the food. This is a tender time, and I was taught to take it one column at a time instead of sitting and brewing over one resentment and everything related to that, to keep it simple, keep it quick, and do one column at a time. So we listed people and institutions and principles in which we were angry. That's one list. Don't go into why, just one list. That really helped me. I was able to easily come up with them. And then listing why we're angry. Not a whole world history. We're talking short sentences. I love that they give us a beautiful example right across the page. Short sentences. Just keep it brief. You know, this is not their inventory. This is our inventory. And the third column, which this is why I needed relief. I was impacted. I was hurt. It impacted my finances, my self-esteem, my ambitions, personal relationships, including sex. I was hurt. I was threatened. We were given God-given instincts that kept this human race alive, you know, and yet somehow I thought the answer was in a cookie or a cupcake or a good date with Ben and Jerry. They're always sweet, but they don't stick around too long. So I'm so grateful for these simple instructions and the power that it has to set this captive woman free and so many others on this line. And I pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. And Jody, before I take you, I just want to remind everybody that we are on page 64, the third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender. And I'll be taking some more names for shares after Jody. So good morning, Jody. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Jody. I'm an alcoholic addict. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been saying the other for 30 years, so I sometimes get a little confused. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Where are you calling from, Jody H?
The state of Maine.
Great. Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I remember I've been through the steps twice, and of course I do step 10, 11, and 12 daily now that I'm recovered. But I never really heard the clarity in other 12 steps programs about what a resentment was. All these years I thought it was just what somebody did to me. But it was through a podcast that I listened to through Vision that this person explained the word resentment. It's made up of two parts, re and sentiment. And the preface re means over and over again, and sentiment means feeling. So a resentment is a feeling that happens over and over again. It doesn't go away. And at first, I had done these what people were doing to me, and it made it clear to me what exactly was going on inside of me and the feelings that I was feeling. Nowadays, with my step 10s, I'm finding that I don't get particularly angry with people so much as institutions. And my last time through the steps, with the help of a vision sponsor, I realized that a lot of my resentments that I have to take care of today are against institutions. And I'm learning every day of my sobriety, I'm learning every day what resentment is and how to get rid of it. I'm open to other vision people commenting and teaching the way, who have gone on before me and have been in the program a lot longer than me. I realize I only have today, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. in Maine. Okay, we're on page 64, the third paragraph. Resentment is the number one offender. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we would love to hear you share. So I'm taking some names who'd like to share.
Wendy M.
Wendy
Mary
M.
Ellen T.
Mary
Shana
Ellen
C.
T. Okay, hold on one second. Shana C.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mo H. Mo H. You guys challenged me there. Okay, I can take another one.
Kathy S.
Kathy S. Okay, let's stop there. Thank you. Okay, so I have Sherry KB, Wendy M, Mary Ellen T, Shana C. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing your name, Shana, right. Mo H and Kathy S. You can correct me. And if you tell us where you're calling from, that would be great. So go ahead, Sherry KB. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Oh, it's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service and Team Wednesday, and welcome everybody on the line. I don't say I love this paragraph, but it's a powerful paragraph, and I need to read it all the time, frankly. I love what Joe and Charlie talks about waking up and turning on that resentment machine, because just because I'm recovered doesn't mean I don't resent. The difference is I don't stay in it as long. It doesn't feel as good. I'm actually back doing the steps again on a deeper level and, you know, just really looking at how resentments, you know, again, you know, I can't afford them as a compulsive overeater. I can't. And when I'm in when I've been in my disease thinking, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm entitled to this disease, you know, resentment. What do you mean? And, you know, that shows me I'm in my disease. I don't have to be face down the food to be in my disease. Now I get face down in my emotions, and I have to do this work. I have to stay in the step work. I have to do, especially working on resentments, to refill everything. And when I write it down, you know, that's what I get, is that I have to write down the facts. And my higher power is the one that removes the story and all the yuck, because it talks about the illness here. It talks about the spiritual malady. It talks about, you know, that we're mentally and physically ill. And I believe that, because I get definitely sick when I get into my resentment, because it takes on a life of its own, and I can just justify, explain, defend. And, you know, then doing a four step and then doing a 10th step, which really is 4 through 9. I had a resentment going the other day, and I talked to this person about it, and she gave me feedback, and it was fabulous. You know, it helped me to realize that not only, you know, when I get into that resentment, it's the stories I tell myself and the buildup that I tell myself. And, you know, where's God in all this? And, you know, when I turn to God, my resentment, I get relieved of those resentments, but I have to write them down, and I have to find out the lies I'm telling myself. And usually they're about not feeling worthy, not feeling good enough, you don't care, I don't matter. I mean, I'm telling myself all these lies, and I'm building resentment in a case against you while I'm feeling this way. And, you know, when I do the work, God gets in there and clears out all the yuck. It's like a spiritual vacuum cleaner, sucks it all out of me. And I'm so grateful for that, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB in California. Wendy M. in Colorado. Go ahead, please. You're followed by Mary Ellen T. Star one to unmute, Wendy.
Yeah, I just got off the line, and now I'm back on. This is Wendy. Can I share?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. God has a sense of humor, and I'm now resenting God. So Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, thank you so much for your service. So 21 years ago when I first got in the program, I saw the word resentment, and I'm like, I love resentments, right? Like, I've been binging on resentments my whole life. They're delicious, just like the food. And I had no idea that actually, like, that was the number one offender, you know? And then I'm like, what are they talking about? They're delicious. So I just want to start with that. But here's what I experience with resentments. And I also love what I just heard. Resentments now feel itchy and scratchy, right? Like, I've had a resentment the last couple of days, you know, and I just can't settle myself. I cannot get to God if I'm hanging out with the resentment. So during the first call this morning, I sent, I don't know how many 10 steps, maybe 5-10 steps on my resentment. So thank you, God, for this program. And so here's what I know, that if I'm resenting something, I am refusing to let it go. I am a petulant child. I'm having a tantrum, and I demand that people owe me and that people have to take responsibility for me and my upsets. And I demand it, and I also depend on the other person to take care of, you know, emotional security, sex relations, all of it, pride, ego, right? And that's the child. And to me, this program is so much about growing it up, taking responsibility for my upset instead of waiting for that person to come and apologize, you know? And it's a refusal to let go. It's like my hand is in this grip, you know, and I won't let it go. I won't forgive, you know, because I'm a little child in the crib waiting. I'm just waiting for you guys to get me. I'm waiting for you, you know. And the other piece of the resentment is I have evidence. I have photographs. I can show you I've been harmed, you know, and that's as far as I went, like it says in the book. And if I'm waiting for X person to get back to me and apologize for this, then there's no God. They are my God. I am plugged into them, waiting for them to fix my upset. And my upset is my responsibility no matter what. And if I know that and I can go to God and say, can you please, dear God, relieve me of this upset, relieve me of this fear. If I'm plugged into God, I am good to go. I have freedom immediately. But if I'm waiting, depending on you, demanding that you do it, being the petulant child who's having a tantrum, who's going over the resentment over and over and over and over again, that's just going to keep me in bondage to myself, and I will have no spiritual freedom whatsoever.
Time, please.
And that is, thank you for letting me share it. Thanks for your service.
And thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. And Mary Ellen T., if I'm reading my writing correctly, you're up, followed by Shauna C. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen T. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Is that a G as in George?
T as in Tango. Yeah, I'm
from
Oregon.
Oh, T as in
Oregon.
Tango.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Thanks. And I am that petulant child. I am, despite being a recovered compulsive overeater, you know, there's a part of me that would like to think that because I'm in a recovered state that I'm not going to struggle with resentment anymore in my life, because I practice a program. I turn my will and my life over. I do 10 steps on a real regular basis, and 11 steps and 12 steps are a part of my daily life. And but I find I am in the middle of a resentment right now, and I am that petulant child, and I am giving my power over to to the resentment. And I just feel like I have been so, it is amazing to see and what my mind, despite my connection with higher power, will corner me into thinking and the thoughts that can pull me down and are so self-destructive. And I have done a lot of 10 steps on this topic, and I'm really ready to let go of my anger and resentment towards my son moving across the United States and taking my grandchildren with him. It's, you know, at the place where I don't want to talk to him and interact with him before he leaves because I want to avoid myself from pain. How selfish is that? I just think I'm reminded that I have a spiritual sickness and I have a thinking disease that really affects me. And I'm in dangerous territory when I continue to wallow in this, but I'm scared. I'm scared of feeling the pain and the grief. And, you know, it's time for me to let go of that fear and that anger and, you know, to fulfill those roles that the big book tells me that I'm supposed to be loving and tolerant, and I'm supposed to be of service to others. And that's how I want to show up. And I just really appreciate that I get to hear all these messages right now because I certainly need it. And I'm really grateful for Vision for You and Big Book Study. It really impacts my life and my recovery in such a significant way. You all are such a blessing. Thanks. That's it for me. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. in Oregon. And Shauna C., you are up, followed by Mo H. Go ahead, Shauna.
Good morning. This is Shauna C. from recovered from Tennessee. And so much has already been said. One thing that's jumping out at me is the things that I get resentful for is the fact that I cannot wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world because I cannot manage well. And you take that, that's the root of all my troubles, is the selfishness and self-centeredness and the idea that somehow, someday, I'm going to be able to control and enjoy my life. And that manifests itself in the trying to control and enjoy the food, trying to control and enjoy the people around me, control and enjoy, you know, I don't even know that I'm doing that because, you know, especially by this point in time, I'm thinking, you know, most of my motives are good. I don't want to compulsively, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be resentful. But the problem is that is the very thing that I'm not cured of, is I'm trying to get some power. Anytime I'm getting resentful, scared, whatever, somehow I have bought into the lie that my mind will always tell me that I have some power over whatever situation there is. Or if I don't, I'm trying to get some power out of something that has no power. Whether it's a person, myself included, you know, no human power can relieve me. And I forget that, and that's what I'm powerless over. And that's why this is a daily reprieve. You know, every day I wake up, I am a compulsive overeater. I have a spiritual malady, and I must have a power greater than myself directing my thinking. I must be willing to set aside, and that's the thing. I don't have the power to let go and let God. I don't have the power to set aside anything. I've got to ask power greater than myself to help me surrender and embrace the ego deflation that is required for successful consummation. And, you know, when I do that, all of a sudden the overthinking stops, the management stops, the things that I thought were so big in my head don't matter anymore. And I'm able to be aware of that. The best I can do of my own devices is to be aware of it and asking God for the help and turning my thoughts, you know, back to God, off of myself, and on to try to carry a message of hope to someone still suffering. One thing that God has given me power to do is to share my experience. I don't have any power to fix anybody or help even myself. But I have been given the power to carry a message of what has been given to me and pass it on. And when I'm in that state, the things that seem so big tend to dissolve. And the things that haunted me the most end up becoming my greatest asset, because with it I can share that experience with someone else, and someone else is not alone in the world anymore. And that's how getting out of self. I can't get myself out of self. It's having enough pain to motivate me to take these spiritual actions to get out of self is what helps, and the pain actually becomes a gift. It sucks. Selfishness and self-centeredness and trying to control is painful. So anyway, before I start rambling, I want to thank everybody for being here, and I'm very, very grateful for these steps. I don't have to live this way for long anymore. Thanks.
And thank you, Shanna C. in Tennessee. Mo H., good morning. You are up, followed by Kathy S.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen, and to all those on the line, thanks for your service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Walnut Creek, California. I wanted to talk to the newcomers first that are on the line. I think this step is the beginning of a lot of work. Well, yes, it is, but it's simple if we follow the directions. And Bill, in his marvelous ways of writing, lines them out for us. First he talks about resentments is the number one fear. So don't be afraid of this step. I hear that a lot of people slip on step 4 and step 8 and 9. And just follow your sponsor and their directions through this. So we've heard resentments defined as, you know, to re-feel. And, you know, I've heard it explained as like when you're watching a football game, how they replay some of the plays so that we can see them again. Well, we get to re-feel in the resentment our feelings again and again and again, and they eat away at us. And then it says, you know, this destroys more alcoholics, okay, from it, all forms of spiritual disease, blah, 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 mentally and physically. We have been spiritually sick. And so to me, what that means, you know, spiritually sick is totally disconnected from God. And when I'm in my food and when I'm in my head, there is no God there. I am all consumed with the little G's of God, the food and my thinking even. So that's the spiritual malady. And these steps, this step that we're studying today, helps us to start uncovering that. Uncover, discover, and discard, and let it go. And I have to say, you know, I've had a lot of resentments I've been dealing with because I'm dealing with a lot of institutions since my husband's passing. And you know, I don't understand their answers, or they don't answer my questions, or I'm on hold forever and ever and ever. And boy, you know, it's like, come on, you know. So, and then it says, tells us exactly how to do this step. We listed the people, institutions, and principles with whom we were angry. And then number 2, we ask ourselves why we were angry. And then we go through the, what does this affect? And it's just very clearly and plainly put out there for us to help us work through this. And in the end, I am very, very grateful for learning these steps and how they have helped me in my life. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. in California. Perfect timing. Okay, Kathy S., you are up. And after Kathy, we'll have time for one more person if you want to get your name in there. So go ahead, please, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathleen. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater from Georgia. And what I love about this paragraph is how it covers everything. It talks about the root, or at least one of the big roots of our problems is resentment. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. It also talks about some of the causes, because our basic instincts, our pocketbook and ambitions are threatened. And then it brings us around in the middle of the paragraph to that the spiritual malady is overcome, or when the spiritual malady is overcome, then we straighten out mentally and physically. So it talks about the solution is going to be on a spiritual level. And when I think about resentments, I think of them more as disturbances. Anytime I just feel uneasy, I feel this sense of dis-ease, then I need to take a look at it. I have a mental allergy towards resentments, because when I get to certain issues, I just want to think and rethink and do it over and over and over again, just like I did with the sugar. And I love how someone described it as an itchy, scratchy feeling, because that's how I have to view it today. It is threatening to my recovery and basically to my livelihood. And, you know, what happens is I'll have a resentment. I can get into a mental obsession. I think and rethink. I engage in worry, obsession. I'll overtalk. I'll act out. I try to control. I go on a whole spree of self-seeking actions. And I'm relying on some dishonesties. I'm being driven by fear. And it comes down to certain things, like examples of fears that I have are fears of rejection or my inferiority. I'm unable to control a situation. And these basic instincts that come into play are like my personal relationships, my inferiority affects my self-esteem, the inability to control, that affects my sense of security. And really what it boils down to is this, I'm relying upon people and things. I'm relying on many gods. I'm not relying on the God who is everything. And to the degree that I get turned around and when I give away a 10th step and I see, oh, that's what my problem is. I was depending upon this thing or person to meet these very deep needs that only God can meet in me and for me. And when I just put my focus back on God, then everything else straightens out mentally and physically. And I'm so grateful for this program and the means by which we have to accomplish that. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy S. in Georgia. Okay, we have time for one more share on this paragraph.
Dion R. Patricia.
Go ahead, Dion.
Hi, good morning. My name is Dion R. So grateful to be here. First of all, let me make amends for not showing up for duty. Because of a resentment I had and wasn't dealing with, and listening to everyone, I woke up at 10:03 then. I'm like, oh, shoot. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, again? So just listening to everyone and my higher power and this beautiful, beautiful share this morning let me know that resentment will kill me. Like someone, and I've heard it said and just read, it's a spiritual disease, and it'll bring out all forms of illness. You know, I don't want to stay spiritually sick. I don't want to stay sick, period. But spiritually sick, I think that's the worst for me. And I really do apologize, you know, to the group for not showing up again and not dealing with a resentment. And it's not nice. It's not cute. But I have to get rid of it or it will kill me. It affects my self-esteem. It's affecting my pocket, my ambition, personal relationships. Can't show up, you know what I mean, on time. So to just ask for my higher power what to do, I was like, oh, she said, one more person? Thank you, God. I need to make this amend. Last week I wanted to make amends. I made it to one person and forgot to make it to the leader. And again, I apologize. I'm going to get right down to that 10th step when I get off this phone and do my part, because I don't want to affect no one, not my loved ones, not spiritual friends, just friends in general. I don't want to do that because things is not going my way. And with that, I pass, and thank you all for allowing me still to be alive and to be a part of this process. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Really great meeting, as always. And let's see, we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kathy S., if you would please read a vision for you. Star one to unmute, Kathy. Okay, we may have lost Kathy. Can you step up for that, Mo?
Yes, I can. Let me get to my book.
Thank you.
OH here, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California, 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.